If you've been watching a lot of TV lately, you recognize this formula. Take a character. A grizzled dad is great, but an adorable baby works fine too.
We have a very special relationship. Some people don't understand, but we do.
Add a dash of adversity.
Can you stand up on one leg, Nicolai?
Stir in some hopeful music. Bring to an emotional conclusion.
But I've been deaf since I was three. So I didn't listen.
Puppy comes home. Dad hugs his daughter. Athlete overcomes disability. And as your tears roll, the tagline.
Sometimes the little things last the longest. Give extra, get extra.
There you have the recipe for sadvertising. Expedia, Powerade, Google, Duracell, extra gum. It seems like everyone is doing it. Now, commercials that go for the tear ducts are not new. Remember that anti-pollution ad with ironized Cody, the single tear running down his face? But in a piece for Fast Company this month, Ray Ann Farah says the real start of sadvertising as we know it began in 2011.
Google released an ad called Dear Sophie.
Yeah.
It was a simple view of a screen. A father is charting his daughter's life, and you get to see his desktop and all of the things he's doing with Google products, and all of a sudden anybody who has a kid is weeping uncontrollably. And you sit back and you're just like, what's happening? I'm crying over Google products. Another really good example was the Procter & Gamble Best Job, wherein it showed how mothers were fueling the success of Olympians.
And they're beautifully done. You know, the Best Job ad for Procter & Gamble. They're these gorgeously filmed vignettes of families around the world. And they say that they're a proud sponsor of moms.
P&G, proud sponsor of moms.
Which is kind of, it's hard. How can you be against that?
When you talk to the agency behind that, Wieden and Kennedy, I mean, they came through with an excellent insight. You know, Procter & Gamble wanted to get behind the Olympics, but in truth, shaving cream, toothpaste, face wash, that doesn't really help Olympians be better Olympians. But if you think about who is helping Olympians, it's their mothers. And those are all of the products that mothers tend to rely on. And so they just really positioned themselves as supporting the supporters, which was brilliant. And then they did it in such an amazing way that, I mean, years later, I still can't see that commercial without becoming a sopping mess.
So did these ads, you know, the Google ad, the P&G ad, why did they catch on? Why did this technique catch on?
Well, I think, you know, purchasing seems like a very rational kind of thing, but in fact, we don't make decisions rationally. We make decisions emotionally. And I think if you look at advertising and how it's created, there's a bit of a trend in terms of, you know, getting people's actual physical emotions and getting a bit more of a empirical kind of understanding of how people respond. I mean, it certainly is kind of illuminating a little bit what I think people instinctually knew, that it's the emotional, it's telling a story, it's telling a story well, that really connects with people.
They can misfire, though, because I know one of the commercials that you have as an example, the Cheerios Nana commercial.
Mom, did Nana ever give you Cheerios when you were a little kid?
Yeah, she did.
Were Cheerios the same back then?
Cheerios has pretty much been the same forever.
So when we have Cheerios, it's kind of like we're having breakfast with Nana.
Yeah.
I had a strong physical emotional reaction to that, but it was more of
probably not what they intended.
Yeah, it was kind of hating what I was seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. Success of these ads, particularly in a viral sense, you put something on YouTube and you can see instantly how many hits something's getting. I mean, if you look back to the Google ad and the P&G ad, they've got incredible view statistics, and so marketers will say, "I want that too." And that's the worst thing a marketer can say, because then you start trying to force something. And if it doesn't hit the right tone, I mean, you're going to get that instant reaction. So I think that's the real danger. If you say, I want to make an ad that makes people cry, you're doing it wrong.
That's Ray Ann Farah. Her article in Fast Company magazine is called The Rise of Sadvertising. Ray Ann, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.